Again, thank you for being here. All of you online, we welcome you. What a joy and delight to have you. Take your Bible and turn with me to John chapter 3. A few weeks ago, I preached in the early service and shared along this line. And now feel like this morning that I'm supposed to kind of go that direction again. So you do have, and Pastor Ed is always so gracious to do things like this for me and when I preach. So I want to talk to you this morning about twice born. How many of you know, I've said this before, Baptists don't go to heaven. Bring to silence every time because you got to explain it. Methodists don't go. Catholics don't go. Christians go. There's only one kind of person that goes to heaven, twice born. And I want to share that with you. You must be twice born. Okay, so we're going to talk about that and what that looks like and just see what God wants to say to us. So let's go over to John chapter 3. I'm going to read a very familiar passage, but then we'll refer back to it. I probably say nothing today that's new to you, but I'm under mandate with the Lord, so I'm going to go for it. So verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He actually was a rabbi. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that your teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless, everybody say unless, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered. This is Jesus talking. Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, notice what he said, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now he goes to verse 6 and answers, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, natural birth. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. For the wind blows where it wishes, and hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. May God bless the reading of his word. What a powerful passage of Scripture. You know, I was just thinking about it over there a minute ago. I had the privilege over the years, and Jen and I've seen paralyzed bodies that couldn't move healed before my very eyes. I saw a dead woman, was dead for 10 minutes. I saw God raise her from the dead, saw it before my very eyes. And it goes on and on and on. But let me tell you this, the greatest miracle I have ever seen is to see an individual that knows they need to be born again and receive Christ as Lord and Savior is the greatest miracle I've ever seen. Now, that is not taking anything away from what I said previously. But I'm telling you right now, how many of you know that woman that I saw raised from the dead died years later? And you can be healed, and we believe God heals, and Jesus is still the same Jesus, but that's temporary. You're still going to die. But when you get saved, God has now given you something of heaven that's eternal, and you will live with him forever and ever. How many know eternal is a long time? I said this in the early service. Somebody asked somebody one time, how long is eternal? Well, they said this. This will just give you an image. Eternity is like this. How long would it take a bug to crawl around the entire globe to make a ditch a mile deep? That wouldn't begin eternity. Eternity is not about time. It's not about that. See, we don't have an eternal mind. We have a natural mind. But the scripture says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, God has put in your heart and mind eternity. In other words, Adam and Eve, had they never sinned, would still be living. Death was the one that diverted the attention of God. So every one of us online listening here this morning, every one of us, you're going to live somewhere forever. And I tell you, there's not but two places. And you know, there's not a waiting place where, you know, there's either heaven or hell. That's it. And those that go to heaven are those that have been born again. They didn't earn it. They didn't deserve it. They just have been. Those that rejected Christ will spend an eternity apart from Christ. That's reality. So I want to look at this with you, but I want to break it down, and then I want to give you my points, okay? So let's look at John chapter 3. I want to break it down in six parts real quick, introduction. First of all, he uses the word unless twice, two times. He uses the word cannot three times in this passage. He uses the word must only once. But here's, how many of you know when Jesus say, you must, how many of you know there's no variation of that? You can't get around a must. A must is a must. Why did he say that? Well, let's go back. If you go back to Adam, you remember Adam and Eve had eternity, perfect relationship with God. And you know what happened? Sin came in the garden. And when sin came, death came with it, because God had told Adam, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When you do, you will die. Now, he did die later physically, but he died then spiritually. So everyone, every human born since Adam has been born with a spiritual death because of his disobedience. That means, you see that lady with the little baby, that's a natural birth. Obviously, you would know that. How many of you guys are glad? Well, our children are here. Our girls are here. When they were born, we didn't video it. When they were born, I sat out there in the lobby like this, and the nurse came out and said, Mr. Shell, you have a beautiful little girl. I go, praise God. And you know, if men had babies, there'd be a lot less of us. But I'm so glad that we have these two beautiful daughters. But now they do it differently. But how many of you know that natural birth, that, now listen to me, I know you've heard, that natural birth, you can do nothing to change it. You don't have the power, you don't have the right, you don't have the authority, you don't have the whereas to do it. You cannot change it. It is what it is. But someone came, because Jesus said, you must be born again. Must. So there must be a way we get born again. So we come up with our own ideas, and I'll talk about that at the end. But you know, the sad part about it, the devil is a counterfeiter. But Jesus came so that inside of me, this death sentence could be broken. I could step into life and live with him forever. That's called a new birth. It's a spiritual birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. And let me hurry on. And then he used the word seek and not see once. He used the word enter twice. And he uses the word born again five times. Born again. How many of you know you can't again till you've had one? You know, how many of you know you can't get saved till you get born physically? Now, That's what Jesus was trying to communicate to a rabbi. This rabbi was a ruler of the Jews. But he said, how is this born again stuff? And so Jesus is explaining it to him. Now, this is what we want to do this morning. Let's look at it as if we'd never seen it before. Wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be something if somebody this morning go, I get it. I get it. And say, yes, yes, I'm stepping, glory to God. It'll be the greatest day of your life. So, let me take you on a journey that God took me on about twice born. Number one, you can't repent until you are convicted of what you're repenting of. There has to be, point one, a conviction of sin. Now, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. John 16:8 says, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict. The word convict means to make guilty. It makes, how many of you know, feeling guilty is not a bad word. It can be a redemptive word. So in John 16:8, he will convict, and this is what he said, he'll convict you of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Now, how many of you know that you're in the natural, that or the lady, that my righteousness there is like the Bible said, like filthy rags. There's not one righteous, no, not one. So how can the unrighteous help the unrighteous spiritually? There's no way. So he starts out by saying there must be a conviction. One of the things I pray for our nation, Lord, convict America again of sin. See, we've gotten used to sin. We've culturized sin. We put it on the news media and said it's all right. And if you don't agree with us, you're a bigot. I mean, that's the culture we're living in. But I want to tell you right now, if it was wrong, come on now, if it was wrong in here, it's still wrong. And my disagreement with it don't change a cotton-picking thing. Excuse my terminology there, but that's just the way it is. It don't change it. So, first of all, there has to be a conviction of sin. Now, let me give you a Bible answer to that. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7:10, now listen to me, godly sorrow produces repentance. You know what godly sorrow is? I am convicted of my sin. It's not my wife's fault. It's not my preacher's fault. It's not my country's. I am convicted of my sin. When the Holy Spirit comes with a godly sorrow, it produces repentance. Now, listen to me. But Paul said, the sorrow of the world produces death. And so here's where the counterfeit begins to move in. Well, I don't know. I just started, bless God, I made the decision. I'm going to do better. Well, I can applaud that. But do better people don't go to heaven. Come on now. I don't mean to be ugly. Just trying to do better. Well, I started the church. That's good. I started to read my Bible. That's good. I started even prayer once. Well, that's good. I started to love my wife. That's good. I started to give them a little money. That's good. How many of you know none of that gets you born again? I mean, it's good, but listen, it's a worldly sorrow. You know what a worldly sorrow is? If I'd have gone down to the local jail, I guarantee you there's some old boys down there got caught drunk last night, and they're ashamed of it. They feel bad about it. They feel awful about it. And you could go down there and talk to them. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I got to quit this. I just feel awful about it. Have you know, go back down there next Sunday morning. They're going to be down there again. Because worldly sorrow don't change. It's not convicted by God. I don't like the circumstance, nor do I like the fruit of my behavior. But it don't get me born again. It don't get me changed. And so, unfortunately, that can happen to anybody. It's a counterfeit. I will mention it at the end, but it's a counterfeit. See, I cry. I went down to the altar and I cried, my goodness alive. How many of you can cry until you can swim in your own tears and die and go to hell? Come on, church. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm trying to clear the mess so that we can find a vertical, I know I've been born again, praise God, and I'm going to heaven and I celebrate it, hallelujah. It has to be, there must be, it's not something that you can just take or leave it. There has to be a conviction of sin. I can remember in my own life, I mean, I have to be honest with you. I kind of liked the way I was living. I was lost as a goose in the fog, and I mean, I'm just lost. And I didn't get up every morning and decide I'm going to sin today. I didn't get up and make my sin list. I just got up and lived like I was, lost as a goose in the fog. But you know what? somewhere when I was 5 years old, I got convicted of sin. I don't know. Must have been mama or daddy praying for me. I don't know. 5 years old. What could I be doing? I don't know. But I was convicted. And I remember being in church one time, and I was under convictions of that. I prayed, Lord, you get me out of here, and I promise you I won't ever come back. That's the truth. I prayed that prayer. I'm glad he didn't answer it, but anyway. But you see, there was a conviction on my, it wasn't the fruit of my behavior I disliked. I was under conviction. Now listen to me. You cannot repent over what you have not been convicted of. Can somebody say amen? That's just the way, that's where it all starts. All right, let me give you the second one. It starts with a conviction. Conviction. The second thing, it moves to a confession. We just did it there just a minute ago. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. You know it well. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Where does faith operate? Not in your head. You listen, head. Right here, this is not where faith operates. Faith operates right here in the heart. And there's a lot of people got it here, but it's need to drop 18 inches. So confession is, I believe that Jesus Christ lived and died and rose again. He is the only way of salvation. Let's everybody say this. I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way for salvation. That he died, he was buried, and he rose again. I believe that. See, that's a homologia. Homo, same word. You have now agreed with God. So once there's conviction, I can't look in the mirror and go, well, I tried it. I'll just be honest with you. Gina and I were in a church. You've heard my testimony. But anyway, we go home, lay in the bed, and cry like little babies. We're grown human beings with two children. Lay in the bed and cried, oh God, let us live together back to church. We thought you couldn't get saved going to church. And God had mercy on us. So for two, we just had preaching every other Sunday. We couldn't afford a full, no, I don't know if we could afford it or not, but we didn't. Matthew just had preaching every other Sunday. 2 weeks I waited under conviction so bad, so I decided I'd fixed it. So I was going to quit cussing. I had me a list of what I was going to quit doing. Guess what? 2 weeks passed. I'm in the same shape as I was when I started. You know why? Because that little lady's baby, that natural side couldn't fix it. And I remember that Sunday morning when the preacher preached. I don't know what he preached. He could have said Mary had a little lamb. It didn't matter to me. But I thought he never would quit preaching. I wish you would hush. I got to get saved. Listen, we need to get desperate for God again. I'm going to tell you, so desperate that nothing else matters but that desperateness I have for him. So finally when he quit preaching, gave an altar call, kaplunk, I was in the altar. I looked over here and here's June in the altar and her sister's over here and everybody's getting saved. I was over here praying with the church lay leader. His name was David. I said, David, I'm going to get saved. He said, pray. So I prayed. I said, David, I don't feel a thing. He said, pray again. He wouldn't turn me loose. He said, pray some more. Well, I got in the kingdom. Hallelujah. And you know, that was my experience. Now, you don't have to do it that way. But I'll tell you one thing. When I went to work the next Monday morning, I knew I'd been born again. I knew the cuss was gone. I knew that. Hallelujah. I knew the cuss was gone. And I knew that Sunday morning that God backed up a hearse in that little old Methodist church and loaded up the old man and drove out and said, now, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Hallelujah. I knew that. Perfect? Oh, no. I knew that. See, this new birth thing is more than a feeling. It's a fact that changes your life. So, it moves to confession. So, bless God. I mean, you heard me say, I started telling people. They didn't tell me at church not to tell it. They didn't say, now, don't offend anybody. So you might, there might be another religion you will offend. I didn't ask them what religion they had. I just told them what happened to me. Let me tell you what your testimony is. It's a prophetic release. When you give what God has done for you, you are releasing a prophetic word into the ears of that hearer. So confession is the second one. This is what I agree on. Well, is there more? Oh, yeah, there's more. Whew. You know, I am up here. I'm preaching myself happy. I don't know why I'm so happy. I just feel so happy on the inside that I've been born again. And I know it, been saved, and I'm on my way to heaven, praise God. And I'm on the old ship of Zion that one day will pull into port, praise God. But when she gets there, she may be battered and scarred, but the man at the wheel, who is Jesus Christ the Lord, we made it home, hallelujah. You can't buy that. That's not for sale, all right? So, it starts with conviction, right? Then it starts with confession, I agree. Well, then it starts with cleansing. I needed cleaning. I'm telling you, did I ever need cleaning? Now, we all need cleaning, but I need a real cleaning. So the Bible is clear, I could give you a lot of stuff here, but I love what Peter said in Acts 15:9 about us Gentiles. He said, for God will purify their hearts by faith. Purify. By faith. The word there is katharos, pure and clean. I love the example in Scripture in the 8th chapter of Matthew. Jesus said, when a leper came and said, you can make me clean if you will. Jesus said, I'll make you clean. Be clean. Be katharos. Leprosy gone. That Sunday morning, I'm sure as it was with you, my spiritual leprosy fell off. Hallelujah. And you know, I believe with all my heart that when you get saved, God gives you a clean heart. You're not 100% mature, but you got a clean heart. Hallelujah. Now, as I've told you, I had a cussing problem. I didn't have it anymore. I didn't try to quit cussing. I didn't bite my tongue. I didn't get me a book and read it on 10 easy ways to quit cussing. If you got a cussing problem, bring it down here, because what comes out of your mouth comes out of your heart, and God can fix it, I promise you. Now, everybody has their own issues, but I had a cussing problem. Gene said, well, honey, it wasn't that bad. It was to me. But he cleaned me up, cleaned her up. Isn't that amazing? When we got saved, nobody told us we had to go to church. Next Sunday, bless God, we just started getting ready. Why? Because the old us died the Sunday before. Amen. I remember one of the guys I worked with said, I want to come see y'all. I said, well, good. He said, I want to come by Sunday morning. I said, wow, I thought he was going to church. Because that's what we did. So he showed up right before church, and we just started getting ready. We got ready. It's time to go to church. We looked around. They didn't plan on going to church. Well, they dismissed themselves, and we went to church. See, there's some things that alive people just do, like breathing. You ever know anybody alive that didn't breathe? And when you get saved, you start breathing spiritual air. Praise God. He who was dead in his trespasses and sins has now been born again. Breathing now. Got cleaned up. Doesn't mean I was perfect, but I got a clean heart. So, and I could go on with that one, but that wasn't all of it. Not only did I get convicted, but I agreed in confession. Not only did I agree in confession, God gave me a clean heart. Not only, listen to me, I got connected to a shepherd and his family. My goodness. You know, when I got saved, I don't know much now. I didn't know anything then. I thought the book of Colossians was the book of collisions. You know, I didn't know. I thought it was the last book of the Bible. I didn't know what it was. And then they needed somebody to teach the old women's Sunday school class. I tried to do it. It's amazing. I'm teaching my mama. And I just got saved. I don't know nothing, but I know I've been born again. I know that. Come on now. So I'm teaching my mama, and ladies her age. Mama thought I was Billy Graham anyway. That's the way mamas are, you know. And then one year, the cemetery we had in our community, it was a big community cemetery. And we didn't hire mode, somebody in the church mode. We need somebody that'll mow the cemetery this summer. I go, I'll do it. Good gracious. That was a mistake. But I mowed that thing all summer. I'd work all week, going out there on Saturday, on my hot days mowing. And I said, remember, some of the church members would blow the horn and go. I'm thinking, why don't you come out here and help me mow this cemetery? But praise God, so I'm mowing the cemetery. Well, we need, you know, every time somebody needed something, I go, I'll do it. Come on now. One day the Holy Spirit said, I need somebody to preach the gospel around the world. I see that hand. Been doing it ever since. Come on. When you get connected, raise your hand. Don't ever take it down. Come on now. So. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad to be made new? I mean, Jesus didn't come to fix up and patch up your old man. He came to get rid of you and give you a new one. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Come on now. And then the Bible says in Galatians 4, 5, 6, and 7, he adopted us, called us sons, and gave us an inheritance. My, who wouldn't want that? He adopted us. Man, I can remember when I was a kid, we used to have recess. Of course, I mean, I'm maybe the oldest one in here, but we had recess in school. And we didn't call it recreation, it was recess. We got out and played ball. Pitch us a softball and a bat and said, get out there, you got 30 minutes. Okay, Doc, you, whatever, they choose two people, you choose your team. Okay, I'll take her, I'll take him. So then you get the two teams you play. I always felt good when somebody called my name and said, I want you on my team. I heard the Holy Spirit say, son, here it comes again. I want you on my team. That's the way he can't do nothing. He said, you can play shortstop for a while. Come on now, how many know the Lord wants you on his team? Come on now. How many know? Come on now. Come on, give the Lord a God bless you. Would you do that? Yeah. Come on, just give the Lord a God bless you. Give the Lord, we love you, Jesus. Tell him you love him with all your heart. Hallelujah. Tell him you love him. Praise God. Woo. Aren't you glad to be on his team? Praise God. Oh, you can be sit down if you can. I don't know. Then listen. It's getting on you too. Yeah. Colossians chapter 1 is what it says. He delivered us from the authority of the devil. He delivered us from the power, the authority of the devil. Second, he transferred us into his kingdom. That's when you got saved. I got a transfer into the kingdom of God. I didn't know it, but I did. And then the word says, I've been forgiven. I don't carry the consciousness of my past that haunts me. It's not under the blood. It's washed away by the blood. And remember it no more. Glory to God. See, isn't it amazing? I don't want to embarrass the girls that are here, but I'm thinking about it. I'm sorry. Thinking about it, I can remember. This message, what I'm preaching to you, changed my life. I'm here because of it. June and I are together because of it. But we here we are, you know, people used to come up to me and say, Doc, I believe God called you to preach. I said, he ain't told me that. You know, somebody's always trying to get you to do something they wish they could do. I said, he ain't told me that. One day the Lord told me that. And I said, okay. So we started, took that little church out here at Cloverdale. And in the parsonage there at Cloverdale, one night after church, I'm sitting in his little office, and I look in the doorway of the little office I was in. This little seven-year-old girl named Donna, hot tears running down her face. This is what she said, Daddy, 7 years old, I'm lost, and I need to get saved. She was so under conviction, I had to help her pray to get Christ in her heart. You talk about blessing, but you can't buy that. Look there, one in Episcopal Methodist Church, one altar call, and I looked over there was Vicky. She was 9. She held out till she was 9. And I'm thinking, she's getting in the kingdom. The greatest thing that ever happened, see two girls in the kingdom. And then we moved down South Alabama at one point. There's a guy in the church. Happens to be sitting right behind Vicky. June there. Married to Vicky. He had a drug problem. He had a drinking problem. We had a lay witness mission. And God blew his breath in there. And I walked over there. There was a long-haired guy giving his heart to Jesus. God got up without a... Come on now. He didn't have no drug problem when he got up. He didn't have no alcohol problem when he got up. Wayne McCain stepped up, started walking with God, been walking with God ever since. I wasn't there when Randy got saved, but I know what he is now. I'm going to tell you, if I had all the money in the world, I couldn't buy what's free this morning. What you can get when God says, I want you on my team, when God gives you the invite, you better say yes. That's a good time for yes. So we connected. Family. You know, I can remember many times over the years, and Junior can testify to this. I'd get up Sunday morning feeling like a dog. And I'd say, honey, if I can get to church, if I can get there, it'll be all right. Because I knew when I got with my family, they had an anointing I needed. And that anointing that they had, I could receive. And I'd go right on doing what I needed to do. She can tell you that many times. I didn't miss Sunday morning many times. And so the devil gets in here. Come on now, I'm going to lay something on you that's kind of heavy. So the devil gets in here and plants a counterfeit. How many of you know the devil is not an originator? Come on now, he's a counterfeiter. He duplicates what is real by getting you to think that what he's offering is real. It is not. And so when you look at this, and I'm just going to give you the scripture. For the Lord says, I'm calling you. I'm speaking to you. I'm wooing you. It is your responsibility, saith God, just to let me be me. If you will say yes to me, that will be a day that will never be regretted, saith the Lord. Never. In the 7th chapter of Matthew, verse 21, 22, 23, Jesus tells this. Jesus said, there's coming a day, I'm putting it in Lauderdale language, there's coming a day when you will come before me. And you know, we all will. Everybody here is going to walk before the Lord or kneel, fall on your face. Everybody here is going to stand before the Lord. Everybody. It don't matter. Well, I'm not coming. Oh, yeah, you'll be there. We'll all be there. Jesus said, you're going to come before me and say, Jesus, did we not? Come on now. Did we not? Matter of fact, I think I can find it pretty quick here. In the 7th chapter. Wow. Verse 22, many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do many wonders in your name? And I will say to you, I never knew you. You never got twice born. You never crossed the great chasm. Aren't you glad there was a great chasm? Remember that story in Luke about the rich man Lazarus? And there's a rich man there in Abraham's bosom. Remember that great chasm, great gulf, depends on your terms, a great chasm. And the rich man's begging to tell my brothers not to come. Tell them that you don't know what's here. Don't come. Could you send me just a few drops of water? The scripture is very clear. There was no way to bridge the chasm between where they were and where the poor man was, Lazarus. Except one day outside the walled city of Jerusalem, there was a cross laid down. Calvary came, and the kinsman redeemer became me and you and died on a cross to build a bridge from my disaster to his eternal life. All I have to do is walk across the bridge of the cross of what he did and say yes to Jesus, and I have life forever. Twice born. That's Jesus said, you must be. Not, it'd be nice. Going to church is wonderful, but it's not good enough. You, as I said it before, I've said it, how can the unrighteous help the unrighteous get saved? You can't. But Jesus did it all. All you have to do this morning in your heart is go, Lord, I don't know. I don't even know if I've been saved or not. In the name of Jesus, you can know before you leave. I guarantee you. Where's those Kleenexes? Randy, help me, would you please? Okay, see? They give it to Brother Randy. Oh, you can do it. Go over there on that first thing and put one Kleenex on the other one. There's an anointing around that. For everybody that don't know, I'm telling you, you step into that, you'll know when you leave. Put one right there. There's an anointing around where Steve just put that one. I just don't know. I need to catch up. I'm just getting behind. I need to do something. Right here's your place. Right here's your place. Come on right here. Put one right here. If you've never been born again and you want to be, there will be an anointing around this place. I think that'll do. That's all the word I got. I'm just telling you, this is a divine appointment with an eternal God that said, come. I want you on my team. And I died and I rose again so you could be on my team. In the name of Jesus. Let's pray together. Every head bowed and every eye closed as the worship team is coming. And I'm telling you right now, folks, I know that we're living in a day. But I'm going to tell you, my God and your God are bigger than that day. If you need some catching up, already one is here. I just need some catching up and some cleansing, and I want you to come. Stay right here where there's something. I want you to get up right now and come. You need some catching up, come. If you've never been born again, I don't know, preacher, if I've been saved. If you come right here, I guarantee you, if you're real, you'll know before you leave. So let's pray together. Father, we welcome you, Holy Spirit, because I know that I know that I know you're drawing us unto yourself. Thank you. I know the Holy Spirit is saying right now, I'm calling, come. May we come to ourselves. May we put aside pride, and it doesn't matter what, Lord. I just want to come. I don't want to leave this building like I came. Lord, I pray all over this building. Wherever there's conviction needed, let conviction fall like the glory of God. Wherever it's needed. And then, Lord, would you give a revelation of your love and the wonder of your grace? Thank you. Would you stand with me? The altar's open. I know we've got prayer team, but let's just wait a minute before the prayer team comes, if you would. Just wait a minute. Anyone that wants to come out, I'm telling you, there is a life-changing anointing up here this morning. I know it in my heart, and I'm encouraging you to come if you need to come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Slip out and come. Don't be bashful. Don't be prideful. Don't hold anything back. This is a life-changing moment. Come on. Come on, y'all. Thank you, Jesus. Folks that need to come. I don't mean that ugly. I'm just saying there's some more folks that God's calling. You may be on the back row. It don't matter. But I'm telling you, God's calling. Slip out and come quickly.
This is my daily bread.
Thank you so much. Someone else, quickly. I'm pressing this because in my heart, I know this is a divine moment. Thank you, Lord.
I'm desperate for you.
Well, the prayer team can come now if you would and just begin to pray as the Lord directs you. People are still coming. Well, here's what let's do. I want to say the benediction, but I don't want to end the service. It's not over. God's got some things. It may be in my heart, I don't know. But if you want to linger around and just wait to see if God wants to do something with you, that's fine. But let's release you to go. And if you're down here and you lead somebody to the Lord, I appreciate you telling me who it was. Lift your hand this way. Would you lift your hand, please? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you. May he be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. The altar's still open. Ministry's still open. Please, obey God.
This is my day.